You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 90, A New Beginning. Recording this during the week starting Sunday, January 22nd. It's Tuesday, January 24th, so a couple days, but still during the week. I'm caught up. Woohoo! The last episode was my catch-up for my sanity. Catch-up as in catching up, not what you put on hamburgers and fries. Let's hope, like Melania on Inauguration Day, I won't be leaving things behind anymore. So, with that, let's start the news! Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States of America. It's all I can do to hold back my throwing up in my mouth. Back in July, Michael Moore warned us about this. He wrote a piece. I think it was his website, but he identified the four states, the Rust Belt, that pretty much gave Donald Trump the necessary Electoral College votes to win the election. Trump won by 306 Electoral College votes. You need 270 to win. And, I don't know. I admit I'm bummed, you know. I'm pretty bummed about this. So, you know, it's not like some of us didn't try. You know, I've blogged about this recently about, you know, how, you know, Bernie really should have been the candidate, not Hillary. And I don't mean any disrespect to Hillary. You know, it's just I'm sure she was promised the election or wanted to win the election. She, you know, Obama came and, quote unquote, took it away from her back in 2008 election, and he ended up winning the nomination and winning the election. So, and serving two terms. So, people are like, go with it, give him a chance, you know. And I'm like, he had a whole campaigning time to give us a chance to embrace him, to really think that maybe change was part of what he wanted. Well, of course change is part of it. He's pretty much, you know, anything Obama did, he's undoing it now, you know. You know, these executive orders he's done the first few days here, I mean, you know, the global gag order on abortions, signing the executive order to start the rollback and the repeal of Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. Today's EPA thing is dictatorship. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know. Basically halting all grants, telling anyone in the EPA that they cannot use their social media accounts to interact with anybody. I don't get it. You know, unless this is just some mandate that we hated everything Obama did, so we're going to roll back everything he did, you know? If Obama had invented oxygen, they would be cutting off oxygen to people, you know? I mean, that's how direct this is, you know, this direct hit of, you know, hey, you know, we're in charge now. All three major branches of the government are controlled by the same party. You know, as I've said on many episodes before, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I don't think that the Democrats should have control of all three major branches. You know, any one party shouldn't. You know, you need to work with different parties. You know, this is, you know, I mean, you know, this party line thing and partisan, I mean, there's nothing that comes out of it that's good. You know, the thing that gets created is division, and people take their sides, and, you know, I'm tired of it. I wish we could find a way to work with things. You know, Obama tried. You know, I think he tried too hard or did things, maybe he wasn't quite understanding about how to reach properly across the aisle to get things done, but you needed to get things done. You need bipartisanship to get things done, and we're just not part of that now. You know, 4 days into this, and And everyone's like, oh gosh, why are you complaining? It's not that bad. It is that bad. I'm sorry, you know, whether that's my opinion and others' opinions or whatever, there's a reason why almost 3 million people didn't vote for him and voted for Hillary, because they wanted the same. They wanted what Obama was continuing to do, you know. Great strides got made, you know, equality and, you know, the environment protections and everything like that. All that's going to go out the window now, you know. One of my stories this episode will be the Women's March. I mean, it was awesome to see that the day after the inauguration, to, you know, this power of, you know, we're not going to take it, you know, to quote a Twisted Sister line here. I really don't see a lot of progress. You know, would I love to be proven wrong? Yeah, but, you know, these first 4 days of let's gut everything and let's get rid of everything and let's roll back everything. You know, another thing that happened, you know, is now the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, where Standing Rock is. Gut Standing Rock. Get rid of all these Native Americans. You know, that's what their whole goal is. You know, the gutting of Obamacare. It's like, well, we're going to offer a replacement. Well, fine. Offer your replacement so that you can roll people over to it so they don't lose coverage. No, you have such hard-ons about trying to get rid of things that you're going to leave a lot of people without insurance. You're going to cut everyone off, and you're going to have uninsured people, and you never cared about it in the first place anyway. Your goal was Obama created this, we're going to get rid of it, and we don't care if we replace it with nothing, you know. And, you know, to any people that disagree with me, fine, you know, you can, you know. And as I just said, I'd love to be proven wrong. I'd love to see, you know, some positive changes. You know, as it is, the only positive change that, at least from, you know, my opinion and my stance, is, you know, Trump is wanting to get rid of the TPP, which that's one of the things I disagreed with with Obama on. And, you know, Hillary was for it, but then she started running, and then, you know, she became against it, which, you know, I hope that's really truly what her, you know, stance, you know, her reversal of stance applies on that. But I really don't understand how any, you know, I do understand if, you know, if I look at myself as someone who disliked and hated Obama for the 8 years in office. Yeah, then I understand. We get rid of everything. But don't look at it as a person or a candidate you didn't like. Look at his logic. You know, how equality, you know, look at marriage equality happened. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, it was, you know, I teared up when they announced it. I'm like, we actually did it. You know, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, it was, you know, I was alive then, but I don't remember because I was a little kid. But it was like when interracial marriage became legal. You know, it's, you know, this division we have in this country between races and political parties and genders, and I don't understand how anyone can look at things logically and think we're doing something wrong here. You know, I mean, you know, or we're not. You know, there's nothing wrong. This is fine. Like that dog in the room on fire. You know, this is fine. No. Look at it from a perspective of how would this affect you, you know? So anyway, it is what it is. As much as it pains me to say, he is our president, and I don't have to support him. I you know, we have protests, we have, you know, phones and everything like that to, you know, although the White House shut down their phone system, you know, people answering calls, and, you know, now it's just, you know, plain voicemails, you know, or messages. So, yeah, you know, let the dictatorship begin, I guess. But I'm against it. I don't like it. And, you know, let's dig in and get ready for 4 years of just trying to keep things normalized to a certain degree. Amazon forced to charge tax in Utah, even with no physical business presence here. So Amazon, the state of Utah and Amazon got together and cut some kind of deal here. So in a recent article in the Salt Lake Tribune, the Utah State Tax Commission announced a deal last month to get Amazon to collect sales taxes on sales to collect taxes on sales to Utahns. But what does it really mean to Utah's bottom line? Well, yeah, I mean, Utah's always looking for money. You know, they think they're getting ripped off, all these missed sales and everything like that. So, but not even the tax commission can tell you. So this is the weird part here. So the tax commission has, you know, keeps public records. A group called Libertas Institute or Libertas Institute wants the Utah Tax Commission to release their records, but the Tax Commission denied a records request from this group, saying it would give an undue advantage to Amazon competitors. You know. Anyway, so all the Tax Commission will say is that Amazon is getting the same deal any other retailer gets, you know, like Target or Walmart or, you know, any company that has a physical location and does physical business in the state. Retailers get to keep 1.3% of the roughly 7% they collect as compensation for collecting the taxes. That may bring some satisfaction that Amazon isn't getting a bigger cut than that, than local businesses, but it still leaves open the question of what the state gave them instead. May not have been much. Amazon already collects sales tax in more than 30 states. On January 1st, Nebraska and Iowa joined Utah in that group, and it doesn't sound like it was a hard deal to make. Honestly, Amazon contacted us and agreed to do this, says a spokeswoman for the Iowa Department of Revenue. So what could be in the Utah agreement that would cost Amazon a competitive advantage? Well, that's... the tax commission is not sharing that. So basically what this means now, that's the kicker, you know, the one kicker on the tax thing that, you know, denied the records. It's it's public records, you know. But no, we don't want to share that. Okay. So the other kicker is that normally, you know, how tax collection works is if you have a physical presence in the state. So say for an online retailer like Amazon, you know, they need to have a warehouse or a distribution center or some type of office where they perform business here, you know. Apple does, you know. If you buy something on Apple, they have stores here, so they collect sales tax. Amazon doesn't have a physical location in Utah. They do in Washington. They do in Oregon. They do in other states where there's physical presence. Okay, fine. Legitimately collect sales tax. Okay. So, yeah. So much for the Amazon great deal, you know, I guess if you buy smaller stuff, you're only, you know, you're paying a little bit of tax, but you know, if you're buying a laptop, you know, like, you know, $1,600 laptop or something, you know, you're going to pay a lot of sales tax. So not anymore, I guess. Women's March had over 3 million people nationwide and worldwide. So, on Saturday, January 21st, the day after the inauguration, there was a planned Women's March where women, you know, males, children, and anyone that wanted to participate that supported women's causes, such as, you know, the constant barrage of negativity that Planned Parenthood gets and threats and actual defunding and closing down of locations, you know, so the support group of the Women's March, they different cities, you know, like there was one here in Park City, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, Australia, Fairbanks, Alaska, where it was 15 below. Hundreds of people turned out for quite a few of these gatherings. In the case of Los Angeles, 500,000 people turned out. I mean, they're saying the numbers were close to a million, but you know, the last I looked up, it said 500,000 people. That's a lot of people. I think Park City had, you know, on the little main street, they had 4,000 people show up for the protest. I mean, what an awesome thing. So Washington, D.C. was the host of this event. You know, of course, the day before, there was a, you know, inauguration of Mr. Trump. And the numbers are, you know, still coming out for that one. But, you know, it was obvious that... the number of people that showed up for the Women's March the next day on Saturday, huge. So, I can't get over how much adoration I have for everyone that showed up, you know, in all these places worldwide. So, you know, kudos to them. Kudos to everyone who you know, had a part in organizing this and getting things out. The number of celebrities that were out and about supporting this, I congratulate every single one of them that came out for this. This week's rant, average people on social media telling actors and celebrities they shouldn't speak about anything political. So you see it all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, a celebrity like Brent Spiner or Will Wheaton, yes, they're both Star Trek people, talk about something political. Then on that same tweet or Facebook post, there are hundreds that show up to tell them, stick to acting, or we don't want our actors talking politics. Of course, the irony comes to mind that we now have a celebrity for a president. Yeah, no one's telling him to stop tweeting. Well, I get maybe not his supporters, but all ironies aside, what gives these average people the audacity to tell a U.S. taxpaying actor or a musician to stick to their profession? I'm guessing it's a one-sided rule here, as I don't see anyone telling Scott Baio or John Voight to, quote-unquote, stay out of the political talk and opinions. Regardless, it's something that irritates me. On any one of us, teachers or system admins or retail workers, are just fine to talk politics on social media. Why not a bigger voice, like a celebrity, to help get a particular message or position out there? And to that I say, yeah, an average guy, you actors, I mean, it's just, it's irritating to see these people. It's just... Who do they think they are? You know, I don't want to support you. Really? You're following Will Wheaton. You're one of his 2.3 million followers. So, or, you know, Seth MacFarlane, one of his 12 million followers. Or you just go show up to his page or his Twitter stream every once in a while just to give him shit? I don't think so. That's, you know, get together, people, you know. They're on Twitter. They're public. If you don't like what they tweet, scroll on by. Unfollow them. Go follow someone else that you embrace or that you agree with, you know. Stop looking at these people you disagree with, you know. You know what you're going to find? Another tweet you don't agree with on. So, done. This week's shameless plug, I went to what is most likely my last CES for a few years. So I've been going to CES since 1992. I took a break from 2002 till I returned in 2001. I spent a week in Las Vegas going to the trade show 3 of the 4 days. I love seeing what's new in gadgets and TVs and cameras and drones, and it's fun to get a few bits of swag or enjoy a few open bar parties. But I think it's time to take another break for a few years. So I'm going to actually move my focus to NAB, which stands for National Association of Broadcasters, which is an all-video and audio production trade show in Vegas each April. The weather tends to be warmer, and my main interest in video production is more fit for that trade show. So I think, it's, you know, like I said, I enjoy CES. I love, first time I attended, 92, you know, I got there and realized other people had cell phones, and cell phones were a big thing in 92. I mean, it was new technology. Week after I got back, got my first cell phone. And over the years, I've gotten a lot more different, you know, gadgets, electronics, TVs, you know, cameras and everything. So, but, you know, focusing more on NAB, I can probably actually be better at doing my videos and video production. So there is that. Just like starting over. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.